Hello, all.
Hello.
How are you? This is Regine L. Sawyer from the Blossom and Brew podcast. We ran a little bit late, but hey, you know, we're here.
We're here. Yes.
And if you end up catching us later, we definitely will be on Spotify and Podbean, so you'll be able to listen to that at your leisure.
That's it.
You were so jumping into it. I'm trying to introduce you, and you're like, I am ready. I'm chomping at the bit.
Okay, ma'am.
Introduce yourself in this little bit.
What I was going to say was, I was going to jump in and say part of the reason we're late is because I was lucky enough to be gifted some extra time with a really wonderful new, guiding force. So I was the one, I'm the reason we are up in this hue, a little tardy. We're a little tardy for the party, but you know, what I always say is we worth the wait. You know what? You'll wait for us because you know, it's going to be worth it, what you're going to hear. And also really, where are you going? What are you doing? You know, like this is going to be on Spotify and places, Podbean, you know, for, you know, however long to come till at least the EMP comes, or we just decide that y'all are not worthy of hearing our bon mot. So, you know, listen to it when you can.
and you are?
Yes. Oh, I am, right. I am Ilka Pinero. I am the founder and I guess owner, I guess. Ugh, I'm the founder, yeah, of the Ilka Pinero Incorporated, which is, you know, your one-stop shop for animal communication, for shamanic Reiki, for meditation mentorship, you know, for light code downloads, for ghostwriting, for fiction, for performance, for public speaking, you know, shit like that, basically. Pay me to come into your space and be a magnificent, educated Black woman. Pay me for it. Pay me for what you have been expecting Black women to be doing for you for free for this whole time.
Okay, so you have a lot of stuff on your mind today.
Do I?
Do I have more of my credits?
Do I have more of my, yeah,
like
I mean, right. And you know, oh, that's so funny because earlier, like the guys of Blossom and Brew were like, y'all are not giving out your cash apps. Like they were like, please make sure to do that. And I was like, oh, okay. That happened this morning as I was brushing my teeth. Like they came in and they were like, hi. And I was like, hi. And they were like, we're the spirit guys of the podcast. And I was like, what up? And so that was their piece of information for us.
We'll definitely set up something. So thank you.
Yes. Thank they were like, God. No, this is labor. And I was like, you're right, it is.
So what's going on? How are you
girl,
doing?
You know, I'm still kind of in fragments, you know? They're gently and slowly making their way into some kind of coalition, which I am encouraged to share. And there is still a lot of like jumbled sort of like big pieces of energy in my space that I'm moving around. You know, like big, like it just feels like chunks or something. Like it's almost like furniture, you know, like I feel like I just have a lot of emotional and psychic energy in my space. It feels like it's like furniture that I have to, you know, or that I get to like move around or rearrange or sometimes get rid of, you know, things like that. And like, you know, the metaphor, like where the metaphor shows up in real life feels really obvious to me, you know, and in case like anyone for whatever reason doesn't have any clue what's going on, you know, we are Black women in America in 2020, like in the summer of 2020. And yeah, if somehow some fragment of this gets somewhere, like is reaching some like future thing, because like who can say what the digital intelligence is doing? It's just like, yeah, there's a lot of ups and downs right now in the summer of like 2020 in this world, in this country. And so I'm just, you know, feeling like a lot of that. How are you feeling? How's your internal furniture?
It's rearranging as necessary.
Right.
You know, because like a lot is going on. I think we say that every week, but we do. We say
I try to at least freshen the metaphor.
Yeah. But people are still unpacking that. Like, we're still unpacking that. you know, it's just a lot of stuff, just emotionally and spiritually and all those things. And it's like, how do you deal with all of that? Well, in order to move forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, because I'm seeing, you know, as I'm sure you were, and I feel like we most likely talked about how, you know, the quote unquote coverage is dying down. Of all of it, like things that we were very concerned about, you know, like mixed Rona.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and by we, I mean like we, all of us, or at least, you know, a lot of us, like enough of us that it felt like it was most, yeah, were, you know, all about this pandemic and this thing and all of this stuff, you know what I mean? And then, like, again, you and I can point to where we believe the turning points were for the pandemic. There was certainly a turning point where all of a sudden a certain part of the population, you know, or like certain members of the population decided that like they didn't give a shit, right? Neither here nor there. And then,
well, it is here.
Well, yeah, it is here.
There.
Well, no, we're gonna, yes, it is both here and there.
35 states are under siege right now.
35 states are under siege right now.
That's the term I'm using. That's what's happening.
Where no, that's why I had to repeat it. I love
their
it.
Their coronavirus numbers are going up in terms of hospitalization.
Wow.
It's astronomical.
Isn't it? Wait. Isn't it now that there are more cases popped up in a week than it did in the whole first 3 months or some shit? Am I making that up?
No, you're not. You're totally not.
Sorry, I just had to shut down I just had an impulsive response that I had to shut down. I keep having to do it. Sorry, I keep having to do it because.
Welcome to the world of broadcasting.
I mean, there's, because I.
Being mindful of your words, but still saying what you mean to say.
Thank you for that. Thank you. See, a bitch is a writer and or channels in private. Like, I'm just like, ooh, people are going to, ooh. Well, you know what? May they be well. May they be well.
Really,
I'm just gonna repeat that several times.
Well, there's that, and there's also
until
the concern
I get to my thoughts.
Well, there's a concern of flight, meaning that folks are fleeing to other states.
Sure.
In order to run away from the infection, and it's like, yo, bro, you're bringing the infection.
Right.
With you.
Right.
Possibly.
Well, that's my thing is I'm just like, okay, how many of those yahoos from New York who were like, fuck this, I'm going to Florida. Like,
yeah.
But then the timing doesn't work. That's the thing is like, you know, I think about things like that and I think about the timing and I'm like, nah, those motherfuckers went. No. Okay. No. So it was the reopening. Who was involved in it? Like, I just, it's so, I mean,
well, today, for those who don't know, we're in New York City.
I don't even know how to really quite track
and
it.
Yes, we are. And I was watching a little bit of our governor's briefing, and he had said something along the lines like, look, it just takes one person. And he said, we got the coronavirus that the folks had in Europe.
Right.
He said, and they got off planes and gave it to the folks within our state. That's
right.
How it passed around. And he said, that's what's going to happen. He said, from, you know, the states that now are under siege, quote unquote, he said, they're going to want to come up here to us. They want to come up to the other states that have less numbers.
Absolutely.
He said, all it takes is one person or two, you know, what, not even two, one person to come off the plane with coronavirus, and then we're back to where we were.
Absolutely not. Man, the thought of that, nah, this hits me on a real personal level. The real salts me up. Salts me right up.
Okay, let's get to it.
Crackers, girl, because
what did you say?
What did you say? I said it.
You know what?
That's how you know.
I don't even know. I think I know what you said, but you know what?
I don't think I've ever said no shit like that, so I don't know who. I don't know what part of me that was. That might be my like old elitist. It's like, oh! Keep your germs to yourself because you know what? A couple weeks ago, some months ago, when we were down here and everybody in New York was like, oh, fuck, I can't tell you how many people, actually I can, but I won't. I'm going to tell you that enough motherfuckers from other states, and I've mentioned this in other like forms of social media, and in those mentionings, I have had such an interesting feedback from various New Yorkers of various socioeconomic backgrounds who were like, yo, but real talk, son. Like everybody, all these other places, motherfuckers in, you know, Texas, motherfuckers in Florida, motherfuckers in Arizona, all these places was like, well, you know, New York is very unique and, you know, the population density and we just have more space here. And it was a thing where like under it, it was all of these different sort of wisps of like rivers of emotion. And, you know, the first one being fear, because it was absolutely, well, this is the thing that I'm going to tell myself so that I can, like, you know, function. And then there was some blame, you know, like this flavor of just like, well, you know, too fucking bad for you. You chose to live in New York, like that kind of thing. And it was just like this whole, like, just, I don't know, fucking ratatouille, etouffee, fucking seven layer dip of just complicated shadow human emotions that like I was receiving from, again, you know, various people, some of whom were close, you know, and that kind of thing where I was just like, this is interesting. Like, this is an interesting thing to receive and to like witness a person or people in this like abject root chakra, very quiet, can't really talk about it, existential terror.
Well, let's just call it, you know, what it is. This is not the first time that folks have either expressed and or done certain things in regard to well, criticizing an urban place. That's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. An urban place. And it is, it's talking about the state. The state is a mixture of urban, suburban, a mixture of whole bunch of different types of areas. So when people think of New York, they think of New York City, and they think of
true of
Black and Brown folks. They think of East Asian folks, Southeast Asian folks, South Pacific folks. They think of the melting pot and the fact that that we live close together.
Mm-hmm.
And they think of the ghetto. Mm-hmm. They think of all these different stereotypical things, and that harkens back to when a lot of white folks were leaving cities. Like there was a lot of white flight.
Yep.
And where Black folks and Brown folks were moving into.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's all over the country, not just specific to New York. Also with especially with East Asian folks out in the West.
Mm.
Folks didn't want to be near people of color, so they left. And so when you add sickness to it,
right,
there's a mixture of like racism, you know, classism. There's a mixture of that within the thought process of, oh, well, I'm not going there. I'm going to go in the opposite direction, or sucks to be you.
Right.
You know, and of course, we've been talking about this for weeks, where folks maybe not be in the mindset of oh, like what I'm saying is totally racist and classist. They're just saying it. And some people are totally aware.
Fine.
But I say all that to say, it's like, well, you're saying and doing exactly what your ancestors did, so
ooh,
we are. Like epigenetics. Like you're saying, you're doing the exact same thing.
Well,
like,
you know what?
But one more
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, 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 go, yes.
Same thing happened around 9/11. When 9/11
you ain't even lying. You ain't even lying.
Well, that only would happen in New York. That wouldn't happen here. I'm like, Oklahoma City bombing? Like, right. What's wrong with you? And also what people aren't mindful of is like who we are culturally as a state and as a city.
True.
Like New York City is the type of city we band together. We figure it out. Like, we're not perfect. You see all these idiots outside in the street with masks off. Like, no mask on, mask off.
True.
And not caring. Yes, it's happening, but I'm sorry to say that a good amount of transplant from other states.
True. Don't be sorry. Never be sorry to tell the truth.
It's fact. It's not born and bred New Yorkers, or it's not folks that understands what it is is to like, I don't want to say suffer, but have to deal with certain things.
Well, it's like, resilience.
It's resilience. I mean, well, there are plenty of people that come here, especially the ones that come here who are of color from other areas of the world. They come to live here and thrive, and they get it.
Yeah.
They get it. Like, sometimes there's some things that you have to sacrifice, something that you got to figure out. Like, yeah. You know, they totally get it, and that matches the New York City culture.
Right.
So when folks are talking about, oh, like, I can't stay inside, I'm not wearing my mask, this hurts my liberty, this, that, and the third, and they're going to fight for that, but they're not going to fight for people who are getting shot and killed by the police.
Right.
It's all interconnected.
I mean, my confession is a brief one, and I know, and you know, I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back because I turned it around pretty quick. But when you first started making that point, I was like, I had resistance to it because I was like, oh, is it real? And then I just very quickly was like, all right, just like see life through the eyes. The opening, like your opening salvo where you were just like, yeah, no, the reason motherfuckers did that was because they racist, basically. When you were like, because they think of New York and they think of colored people, quote unquote, they think of colored people all close to each other, all close together. And my initial thing was because, and that was more of because of my experience as a native New Yorker, you know, I was like, oh, was that really? And then something just very quickly deposited me into like the mind of a person, of like a white person who like lives in, you know, Kansas or whatever, and only has ever seen white people and their depictions of like people of color, much less black people, because that's another thing that I feel like I want to make the distinction. Like this whole BIPOC, like I use it for efficiency's sake, but I still am like, separate black people from that. I always want to make that really clear. I say that then back to the original point, which is I just put myself in the mind of like, you know, Sally, you know what I mean? From like Fayetteville or wherever. And I was like, oh yeah, no, she's absolutely right. Like I was like, that's exactly what it is. Like, I think, you know, even people who quote unquote are like, oh my God, New York is so great. I love being there. I'd love to go. You know what I mean? There is, yeah, I just really want to support that. And I also want to point out like my, you know, whiteness chip. You know what I mean? Like for a second, my like coon chip was like, am I turning on? And I was just like, I'd smash you. Like, here we go. We're going to smash you again, coon chip. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing this. We're not defending this. We're not defending whiteness. Coon chip. Girl, you heard about the coon chip, Dr. Umar Johnson. I don't really have a coon chip, but they tried to give us one. They tried everybody. Listen, but when I tell you this, one fucker tried to give me a coon chip from day one. Dr. Umar Johnson, who was like not any, I mean, that dude, he's so horrendous. And yet the amount of sound bites, it's like he's a sound bite machine. So there's one of the things he says that people share all the time and we reference to someone. He's like, you know, doing that thing where he's looking at the camera and he goes, see, in certain black people, there's a coon chip that activates. All right, listen, I'm gonna tell you that another time. So okay. It wasn't quite the coon chip right in there, but it was the thing that was like, but, and then like you kept going and I was like, no, absolutely. Like I do feel like there's absolutely a part of like those people, like people who align with that demographic that look at New York and are like, oh, you know, and like at best it comes out as like, oh my God, New York is so exotic. You know, New York is so wild. New York is so this, New York is so that. I feel like you're absolutely right, because then as you continue to make the point, I started to think about the people that I know, the transplants that I know who were here and what they did here and watching them live here and watching them like never come to the neighborhoods wherein I lived or rarely, you know, and thinking about this person with whom I went to school who was like a B-list celebrity right now, and they were looking for an apartment and it was something where they were writing on social media, you know, and it was just like, and the way that they dismissed any borough other than Manhattan, like, and it was like, haha, this joke. And I was just like, wow, like, look at what a piece of shit you're being right now, you know, about this kind of thing. And of course, this person is, you know, is closer to white. We'll put it that way. They're yeah. So at any rate, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to see like one of the pieces of furniture I think I'm moving around, and a lot of us are moving around, a lot of Black people are moving around, is like that one, like the internal one, and how, maybe not a lot of Black people, maybe just me, the internal piece of like the ways in which I have allowed toxic whiteness into my space because it was being administered by a white person I love.
Wow. Okay.
I let that happen, like a lot, because I was like, but that's one of my, and that is one of the gifts of this pandemic, is I'm like, or you know what? Let's not fucking do that ever again.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
And I'm coming out of this pandemic with like, you know, I mean, I feel like it just like, I'm like, oh, right. There are relationships that are like it, not even, I mean, irreparably altered, and irreparably is wrong because it's not even that it's broken, you know, like it's not even that it's like in requirement of repair. It's like one of the revelations of like my time of interiority has been, and that, you know what? Yeah. Fucking coonship. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. You know, like it was just like, hey, bitch, you out here talking all this shit, but look what you're doing. Like, it might be small, but you have it, and it activates for certain motherfuckers. We're not doing that anymore. And that,
I think. Traveling.
Right.
Your colonization.
Right, right. Because it was real easy for me to, you know, make people like exceptions to the rule, to rules that, like, I believe are true. And really wanting to make them accept, not too many motherfuckers, you know, like it's like a skin, you know what I mean? It's like salt, like don't, like, please don't get it wrong. Like a bitch ain't a fraud, you know? It's just like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, like a grain and a half of the sand, of like the beach of my relationships, right? I'm just like, ooh, you know, it is. It's like, again, I love Muhammad Ali and the snakes, you know? Like, it's just like, oh, okay, there were some snakes in this motherfucker. And I knew they were snakes. And the whole time they were just like, yeah, I could bite you at any time. And I was like, And I knew that it was whiteness, like whiteness, you know?
This is also a reminder that this pandemic is an apocalypse of sorts. It is about revelation, you know? It is about revelation. It's like, what's coming up to the surface? What's a part of your life that should stay? What should be removed? Mm-hmm. You know, who are you wasting time with?
Right.
You know, and where now can your time go to? Because essentially it wasn't really a waste of time. It was just the lesson that you needed to learn for whatever reason.
Right.
At least that's how I receive.
It feels like that thing can be a lot applied. Yeah, I think that was the part of me that was just like, perhaps what a lot of Black people are realizing is like the ways in which we have continued to allow that. Like that thing that is like my version of a thing that I feel like to whatever degree we're all experiencing. And it goes back to your point that we were talking about earlier about the person in the comic books industry that was just like, everybody talking about how so-and-so is great and this and that, but I can tell you this dude is racist and let me go ahead and get the receipts and I'll be right back. That thing.
Yeah, that's on Twitter, y'all. a lot of people retweeted it, so, you know, shout out to David Walker, because he's the one that tweeted that, so you can, you know, check his feed.
What's his at?
Let me make sure. I think it's at David Walker.
If we're going to do it, let's do it. And I feel like so much of that, like, again, so much of that. So, yes, because I'll even say, too, to another, you know, quasi. Say again, because you cut out.
At David Walker, 1201.
Right. May he be well. May he be well and protected as he goes forth and whistleblows.
David is awesome. David's a friend and a colleague. But yeah, that's something that he decided to do because it was sitting in his heart.
Yep.
And in spirit. And I think a lot of us do that. And you know, like when these things come out about folks that we don't know, we're familiar with, or we've heard about, or even that we work with, or that we were friends with, you know, it's information that we have to digest. And like, once it comes out that this is the case, okay, this person is racist, this person is sexist, this person is an abuser, it's, you know, this, then a third, it's stuff that we have to unpack, you know, as they unpack and see how it relates to us and how we feel about ourselves and the world. But I saw a couple of people who were talking about just all the revelations that came back last week. I'm not going to harp on this, but the revelations that came out last week about all the various issues in the comic book industry. And folks were like, I truly did not realize that that's who this person was. He's my friend. Like, what in the world? Like, and they start to question their own judgment. You know, like, how did I not see? And sometimes it's just, and I believe this wholeheartedly, just as I've reviewed my own relationships, or, you know, my own intuition, which I think is pretty strong.
Right.
Like, you always know when something's up with somebody.
Right.
But also, it's the thing is, you saw something at some point, and you're like, wait. Right. And you brush it off. And sometimes, and I would encourage all the time, lean into that weight. They said a little something that was off color. You know, you didn't like how close they were leaning towards you. You know, there's something about their body language that did not feel right in your spirit. That's intuition. You lean into that.
Right.
Because 9 times out of 10, even more than that, somebody gives you a clue that they're shitty.
Right.
Or at least they have shitty aspects that you may not be fully and totally aware of.
Right.
You know, but also don't spend your time beating yourself up, because that person's the one running around here abusing people. You know, right. You didn't introduce others with that intention of somebody getting hurt and harmed. Like, and, you know, because sometimes that happens too. Like, oh, this is my friend so-and-so. He's in this industry. Y'all were getting along well, blah, blah. And then that person will come around like, yeah, Janet, you know, he was trying to put his hand on my skirt.
No.
You know, like that, he's like, wait, what? Jonathan? You know, you know, for me, I'm like, okay, so we're killing him today. Like, what are we doing? And that's my thought process, but that's just me.
Yeah, I understand it.
But I'm saying this to you also to say, like, yeah, you saw who a person was, and you take that information and you use it the way you should.
Mm-hmm.
The way you see fit, even if it's just like, you gotta go on timeout.
Right.
I gotta cut you out, and then I have to unravel why I was hanging with you when I know you were saying some craziness.
Right.
Throughout the years, and it got heightened during the pandemic.
Right.
It's a little cool.
I mean, it's interesting because I feel like there is a level of apologism, right? So while, you know, going back to that, to what I said before about, like, you know, people doing or like enacting toxic white things, you know what I mean? I feel like for me, and I would imagine at least for some people, I would even go, you know what, I'm gonna leave gender out of it. There's a thing of like, okay, well, it's like, okay, well, that can't be who that person, like, again, it's excuse making, you know? And it's just, and of course too, it depends on like the like transgressive behavior, right? So like, depending on the level of transgressive behavior, I feel like the responses to it, like the level of apologia, right? Like tracks, you know what I'm saying? So it's the kind of like, okay, you know, this, you know, I accept this person for who he is, you know, and like, it's not things that I particularly care for or agree with, but I accept this person for who he is. And perhaps part of our relationship can be, you know, like debate or, you know, like challenging each other to like expand our minds that way. Right. So that's like one kind of extreme response to it. And then to like, you know, people engaging in transgressive behavior. And then there's like another one in the just gamut of responses to it is like ignoring it because of like, you know, tension or fear or whatever, like peer pressure, you know. Then there's the silent cosign, you know what I mean? And I feel like you see that a lot in particular with sexual assault trigger warning. So yeah, you know, like with that kind of thing. You see a lot of this, it does become gendered in certain ways, I find, of course, depending on the type of transgressive behavior. But even that is not necessarily true anymore. You know, like there's this very popular TikTok person that I had discovered a couple of years ago, who was this abolitionist and this whole thing. And it came out just a couple of days ago that they, this call for them to deplatform because they breached consent slash assaulted someone. And just like watching this person who had built up this pretty major platform just get like raised, like their whole, they just got raised to the ground, you know, just in like a matter of days. And like other people I, you know, engage with were connecting, like were connected to this person in ways that I didn't even know. You know, it was like skincare Twitter was connected with like abolitionist Twitter because of this person and because of the way they had transgressed. And it was really interesting to see it unfold and to again see the various people who came through with like levels of excuse making for them and levels of defense, you know, and how that kind of happens every time somebody is revealed, you know, right? Have you noticed that I feel like is a very common.
I do. And I think it's just a couple of levels to it. And I want you to continue what you were saying, but I think there's a couple of levels to it. There's one, sometimes the defense is because you did some of the stuff that they're accused,
they're accused of. Right.
And you don't want to think that you're a creep.
Right. Hell.
You know, that you don't want to think that. And then two, there's the feeling of, well, I really like this person. I think they're really dope. I don't think they would do something like that. And how is that reflective on me if I like somebody who is doing really creepy stuff?
Right.
You know, so they can't, they couldn't have done it. I hope not. And then also, as you were talking after I had said what I said, it really, some of the emotions really feel tied to the grieving process.
Say more.
Like, it's almost like you're on some level, you know, this person did what they did.
Okay.
And you're trying to process that they did it.
Right.
So you go through some of the emotions that are tied with the grieving process, like denial,
right,
becoming numb,
right,
acceptance,
right.
You know, there's a few other emotions that are tied to it, but like you go through each step until finally you're like, okay, this person did it. No, because at some point you have to accept it. I mean, as you were speaking, I was like, that sounds like the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
So very similar to it. Because then you got to figure out, depending on what your relationship is with this person, am I going to continue on with them? Whether it's
right,
following them online, supporting their work, if I know them, are we still going to be friends?
Right.
Are we going to be acquaintances? I mean, I don't want things to be weird, but what am I going to do? It's all of that. But it also, yeah, and I'm going to want to hit this home. A lot of times, it's folks that did the same thing the person did.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's the nadir, right? Like that's the nadir of the places where it's just like, ooh, and this piece of, think about how many times, again, the intersections, like how much of that did we see, you know, during like that 2-week period where everybody gave a fuck about Black lives. Remember that? Wasn't that a nice time when everybody cared? When everybody cared about the niggas? Ah, so good.
Well, let's be clear, there are still protests happening.
There are absolutely still protests happening. Absolutely. I posted
video footage in order to protect protesters.
Yes. So I posted a thing yesterday where, you know, everybody was, you know, it was one of the lovely, like sort of quiet ones that was well attended by a certain population. But have you also noticed, very brief tangent, that why the mainstream media like coverage has died down? Like the protests are still going on, absolutely, and those like haven't ended. What I think it is that, you know, now, like once people caught on to the fact that like all of the ultra violence and all of that shit was being started largely by law enforcement themselves and like plants, you know, then there was no, then like think about it, there was like no, yeah, like they were just like, oh well, none to report here, just people, you know, fighting for human rights. you know, yeah. like that kind of thing. Yeah. And so, and I'm also seeing there is a dwindling on like the other forms of media as well, as we knew there would be. We knew there was going to be a saturation point. As soon as motherfuckers started coming out talking about allyship fatigue, I was like, okay. And like, this is how it goes every time. This is how it goes every time. You know, there's like every, you know, whatever, a couple points in some decades or some shit, the thing happens and all of the things align and everybody gets to give a shit for a second. And then it kind of goes back to just like the people who really have it in them that continue to give a shit. And what I choose to believe is that this time, you know, we clung like more people stuck in the net, right? And like, we just kind of keep hoping for that because as we have just been saying, there's so much excuse making, there's so much apologism, and honestly, there's so much weakness.
Yes.
There's so much weakness. There's that book that people love trotting around, that white fragility book, which incidentally is written by a white woman. And I'm not trying to discount her work. Like, thank you so much for showing up and doing this and making this thing happen. And I've read that book and it feels to me like it's just, it's, if it's not a starting off point, if that book doesn't lead you to lead one to reading work that is written, you know, at the very least, by D'Angelo's contemporaries in this time who are black people, right? Then at least it would lead you to some, you know, like classic black radical liberation thought, something like that. But it's like, if you just stop there, I think we all are comfortable enough with the idea of white fragility. It's been around for long enough. We probably have all seen it happen, particularly those of us who are black and or people of color,
well,
and
other people of color. We're seeing it with this debate.
Well, of course, well, right. Oh my God. Karens, and even again, the masks, you know, it's just like, huh? Like this inability to be community minded, this lack of resilience, this like, you know, we make jokes about it. You know what I mean? We call it mediocrity. We call it like man, fragility. And all of it is true. And it's literally killing people. It's always been killing people, and now we're just seeing it in a much more intense way. And so it just feels like we're watching, and I say it again, it just feels like we're watching demon children. We're watching this petulant behavior. And that, I think, is that to me is a descriptor that could be applied to so much of the behavior we're seeing that feels aberration. Yes. That feels like, you know, where it's like out of the norm, like where we're seeing footage of women literally or whomever, like literally just throwing like packages of chicken, you know, because they're literally throwing tantrums. We're seeing people throw tantrums. This cis debate, let's talk about that, because I feel like that's a whole bunch of people throwing tantrums because of a boundary.
Well, the cis debate, I just came across it today, and I want to get her name right. A comedian on Twitter, her name is Kiana. I'm getting her last name. But she basically posted something along the lines of, you know, white women, you know, why are you calling black women cis? And she was kidding. She was kidding or just tossing sort of a joke out there. And
sure.
It became this whole thing where there are these white people thinking, why can't I say sis? If I have a sister, I can't say sis, you know, or I'm for Black Lives Matter and the protests and you know, but I can't say sis. Like, I'm one of you. It's like, what?
First of all, no, you're not. First of all, you're not. We're not the same. Stop it. Yeesh. Okay.
Yeah. It's Quinta, excuse me. That was Kiana. Quinta Brunson.
Oh, Quinta. Girl, Quinta Brunson. I didn't know it was Quinta that posted that.
Yeah. It was.
Well, yeah, little cute ass Quinta. She on the Black Lady Sketch Show. That's the last thing she did, but I remember her from BuzzFeed.
She said, white girls, when you say sis, what do you mean by that? And then it just
Well, I guess they told her what they meant by that.
Off in all the tears, and
I guess they told her what they meant by that.
Jumped in and said, "Pump the brakes."
One,
she was joking. Like, two, yeah, do not call me sis.
Well, think about, well, you know, shit, from the joking perspective, think about how you and I have talked about times when I have made jokes and like months after the fact, women, I'm like, yeah, and I'm just like, what do you even talk? Oh, that was a joke. Oh, wow. So even, and then that goes into, you know, another thing that hopefully will lead back to us talking about self-care, in the ways that like people put masks onto Black women, or people just like put all of this, like this, these definitions or these lenses of the things are like what Black women do, right? Think about the angry Black woman trope, where literally you're at work, you're responding to something that would make anyone else feel an emotion. You know, this thing where like we have to say everything and it has to be really soft and blah blah blah, and like you this requirement for oppressed people, in this example, I am specifying Black women, to have to rise above, to have to, you know, like this, and again, this like Judeo-Christian sort of like driven in belief where it's just like, and like, you know, that they told like, whatever, this thing of like, you have to turn the other cheek, you know, and when we see these people come out and they're like, well, I forgive the cop that like, killed my father, you know, like that kind of thing. There's something here where it's like, because of the dehumanization, because of whatever the fuck it is, you know, like we as Black people, even our emotions are demonized, even our emotions are bastardized and like stigmatized. Like we can't even be salty. Like we can't even be salty about 400 years of like historically documented extra fucked up treatment without white folks coming in and getting in their feelings.
It's almost like a punishment for being enduring and being a resilient people. You know, at least in my estimation, like how dare you be able to be strong enough to move forward in whatever, which way that is, because I mean, I have my feelings in regards to forgiveness. You know, I do consider myself a Christian, but I also feel like forgiveness is for you, so you can move forward. But that don't mean you kick back and hang back with somebody. That doesn't mean you reincorporate them in your life.
Right.
And that doesn't mean they're not supposed to get their just due. Like the law of the land is still the law of the land.
Right.
You know, and also the law of the universe is still whatever it is, which I believe is karma. You read what you sow.
Mm.
I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe people need to be handled.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, like what you put out is what you get back. Mm-hmm. It may take years. It may not. It may have something may happen tomorrow, but it happens. But everybody may not bear witness to it. And I do agree with you, like we as a people, we've been through all this stuff and we've been so resilient, we've been so enduring, and people mistake that for, oh, they're past it. No, are you kidding me? Like intergenerational trauma is real, epigenetically. I'll keep singing that until the cows come home. That's real, that is still in my body, that is still present. That is a part of my quote unquote coon coin.
I mean, chip. It's a chip. Girl, you know they ain't giving us no money.
I like.
They ain't giving, girl, bitch, you ain't, white folks, they ain't trying to give us no money. Can I get a bottle of reparation? I want a reparation.
That's true. But what I'm saying is, it's a part of us unpacking while trying to still live and thrive amidst all the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we just have to stay on and be on one accord on, like stuff that happened to us has been detrimental. We are in a constant state of trauma. I really truly feel like PTSD we experience it, but more so we are still constantly within the trauma.
Of course.
So it's like, am I really, am I really having a flashback? Am I really being triggered? Or is this just what's happening every day?
Yes, to both. Like, it's a simultaneous yes. It's a simultaneous yes. Absolutely. And that's why I believe that one of the things that we, you know, as Black people can do, or it feels very important to me at least, to start to prioritize myself. Radically. Like, radically. And that is actually going to take a lot of unraveling and a lot of unlearning in my part, or on my part, because of all of that generational trauma and the way that it showed up, like, in just like this particular lifetime, and coping mechanisms that I have conditioned into myself, you know, to be able to like be taken care of, or like kind of secure, you know, stability in ways, because I didn't really have those things offered to me as a young person, you know, and however that shows up for whatever Black person, you know, like, I think that I think what I wish for us is like the space in the room, you know, the space in the room away, honestly, the space in the room away from motherfucking whiteness, to just actually be able to take a goddamn minute where we don't have to navigate this bullshit. We don't have to navigate the, oh, your emotions, and, oh, you said that thing about my haircut, and, oh my God, I'm in the feelings, and, but you call me Karen, and I just, oh, and I'm so good, and like, here's this picture of us, we're on the beach, and, like, you know, just that, you know what I mean? Just like away from their just like whingy fucking unseasoned bullshit, you know, and just kind of this constant having to be on guard, because you never fucking know, you know, when, you know, something is going to come, like when a fucking pointed ass, jagged ass nail is going to come flying out of them at you, you know, like, just space away from that, space away from that, to really figure out like how we function, like how we to even identify the coon chips, right? Or whatever it is, like however we are infected, right? Or however whiteness is operating in us, you know what I mean? And like manipulating or causing dysfunction in our systems, and then really just eradicate it. Like, that's what I wish for us. Like, I just want us to have enough time away from it. It's like, how do we get away from it? Cause it's fucking everywhere. It's that thing. It's exactly what you said, where it's just like, okay, how do you even begin to try to process like PTSD, you know, where it's like the post trauma when you're constantly in the trauma. So it's just like post and present, I guess it's post and present.
Yeah, it is.
So how do you, you know, So that's what I really wish for us. And how do we then even create these pockets of that? You know, because I feel like, given the way things are, and given the fact that, you know, we are in this system, you know, how do we carve out time? Like, how do we fiercely carve out and protect those pockets of that space away from it? And how do we say, an intention that I'm creating for myself right now is just like, with absolute neutral, you know, like neutrality, and also like fearless feels like an important word to me, because there's a lot of like fear of like, what is going to be the repercussion? Like, what could be the potential repercussion of me like being in the fullness of who I am right now? And that, I think, is the question that we are constantly having. We are constantly being forced to pose as Black people in workspaces, in personal spaces, you know, in the fucking street. You know what I mean? Like, what is going to be the potential repercussion of me saying what I want? Of me, like, because think about some of the ways white people come out they fucking faces at you sometimes.
Yeah. Man.
Think about that. And all these videos we see where they saying shit to people that you're just like, who the fuck raised you? And then it's a whole fucking can of worms when we say shit that is like, but even polite, like, they can talk to us any old kind of way, but unless you craft things and it's very soft and I'm gonna find a way, and here, I'm gonna give it to you in this cupcake, you know, like, we're angry and they're intimidated and we're scared, and whoops, we lose a job or our lives. This is the dynamic that I find fucking disgusting.
And it's a dynamic that stands for slavery.
Right. And that's what I mean when I say weak. Cause I'm like, you're so fucking weak.
I mean, definitely.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it for an hour. You'd be just crying.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of what people were talking about. Oh my gosh. I guess in terms of the process, like there was a New York Times article that I tweeted out, I think yesterday, in regards to like Black activists like responding to, I guess, white folks that have been in and around the protest, and finding that they feel like the white folks that are in these protests are performative, or being performative in the act of protesting. Like, I didn't read the entire article, but that was the gist of it. And I think the main issue was that, I guess, people were getting a taste of what we get, and they like fell out, like, oh my God, I can't. Or if you've seen the hashtag ally fatigue.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to stop.
We've mentioned it. We've talked about allyship fatigue already on here, I feel like.
We probably did, but just didn't.
Because as soon as that popped up, as soon as I saw that, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I was just like, you've been doing this shit for 2 weeks. And again, that's where week came from. Like, it's one of the places week came from. There's actually a real specific place week came from. And now I just see these things. I see these reports. I see this stuff. I like see it in my life. And I'm just like, you're weak sauce. You got no backbone. Get your weight up. Like, really?
Well, really? You know, like last night, journalist and video game streamer was absolutely amazing. I think her name is Kate Sanchez, and she was on this really awesome Twitch panel discussion this past weekend about sexism within the gaming industry. And she posted this tweet last night that basically said, like, look, I'm going to say what I'm saying. I'm just saying it. Like, most of the problems that I've had in the industry, you know, outside of the sexism, when dealing with cis heterosexual men in the industry, has been specifically from white women.
Yep.
And I shared that, and I said, yeah. I said, yeah, because that definitely resonates with me.
Did you have a bunch of people in your mentions talking about, not me?
No, thank God. Because
lucky you.
It would have been, I, you know, I'm pretty good online in the sense that, if I post something, if I say something, it's because I'm pulled to say it. Otherwise, I just say it to folks' face. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not a keyboard gangster.
Right.
But so for me, I would have let someone like really have it. Like, wait, you need to check your privilege.
Right.
And look at the ways in which you may have made somebody feel uncomfortable. Mm. But she had another tweet, maybe like several hours later, saying, oh, it's really funny that after I posted that tweet, like these white women in the industry have now blocked me.
Whoa! Oh, but hey, actually, no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
And I was like, wow, that's expected. I said, I'm not surprised. Yep. I noticed, and this, maybe I was wrong, I'm wrong, but I noticed after I shared her tweet, her first tweet, I lost like 5 or 6 followers. And in my mind, I'm like, bye.
I'm honestly and really and truly surprised that I haven't lost more. And I really think that the only reason is because people don't pay attention to my stories and they just look at my feed.
On Instagram.
Yeah. Twitter, I'm like, there's something sort of nice about like being able to lurk on at least one of the platforms. Like, I'm just like, ooh, I'm just gonna be here and I'm gonna like things, and yes, you know. But it's interesting to me, like I don't really give too much of a shit about I don't care, because to me it's just like, I give way less of a fuck about followers. Like, are you a client? Like, are you booking sessions? Are you showing up? You know, are you exercising your like metaphysical muscles? If not, okay, whatever, you know, like the picture of the cat, who gives a shit? Like, there's plants. Okay.
I think the thing is that for me, it's just like, it was interesting to see.
What, that you lose people?
Yeah, it was like, oh. And
was
I
it interesting? Like, was it just like, oh, look at that completely typical behavior?
Yeah, it was. It was. Because it wasn't something I was looking for. It's like you open up your account and you see the amount of people that you had when you left. It just, you know, you might see it.
And then when you open it again, you see, you'll see how many people you have. And I have a couple of accounts, so I switch between.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, I'm more familiar with how many like followers I have.
Right, that's right.
So when I come back and I see it, I'm like, wait, Oh wow, you big mad. You big mad.
Yeah. Yes.
At what the truth is, as opposed to taking a minute to unravel your own behavior to see if it's minutely possible that you made someone feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Or that you did something wrong, or you know that your certain practices had been just so.
Yes. I mean, it's so interesting because some people, when they see themselves in the mirror, will turn away from the mirror. Some people will smash the mirror. Some people will go up closer to the mirror and be like, oh, fuck, that's me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's what we're seeing, you know? Because I know, like, there have certainly been examples in the past where like somebody has posted a thing and I'm just like, ooh, I'm in that tweet and I resent it, but it's not like I'm gonna, you know what I mean? But I'm not, never would I pick that battle. Never would I pick the battle of like sliding into somebody's mentions, you know, or in their DMs, or like picking a fight with a stranger, or frankly, even someone I know on a public forum like that, you know, because I felt like I got reflected, or like it pointed out, it you know, highlighted to me some way in which I behaved transgressively, you know? And again, it goes back to like people, not just the keyboard warriors, because we're seeing it from these videos, people really feel like they can talk to other human beings any kind of way. And then depending, you know, on like your various cultural markers, you know, when you don't get the response that you've been conditioned to receive, you know, you can't, like, it's like you either put up or shut up, you know? And I feel like this is what we're seeing so much with these videos, with these Central Park Karens and these people calling and all of this and all that. This is certainly what we're seeing with these cops. You know, you abuse people and abuse people and abuse people, and then people in whatever way, you know, because at some point, if one continues to abuse another, right? Is there a point where that the person receiving the abuse, or the person surviving the abuse, do they not get to respond to that abuse in pretty much whatever way? Like, do we not understand pretty much any response? Like, do we not understand? Remember Burning Bed? Remember that movie where we were little Farrah Fawcett?
Oh yeah.
Remember that movie?
Girl. Yeah.
I remember being real little and seeing that movie, like little, and being like, I get it though. Like, I was like, I get why she did it. And I was probably 6, maybe 9, I don't know. And it was the thing, and he treated her like dirt. And the fact that she was just like, yup.
And I was like, talk about that movie. I never really watched it, but my mother would talk about it.
Basically, Farrah Fawcett, she was there. She had this man, they was married. He beat the shit out of her for years, fucked her up. And then one day she was like, you know what? Set the bed on fire, burn that man alive.
Yeah, me and mommy would talk about it.
And I remember being like, okay, sure. Like, some part of me was like, yes. Because how much do you expect a person to take?
Yeah, until they've had enough.
Right.
Until it's dead. It's like, nope, I'm done.
And then, but then my point is like, but then the way they express to you that they're done, you know, like at some point there's a saturation level. Where like whatever person's expression of enough is, you kind of got it, you know, you had it coming.
Yeah. More like
you had it coming, you know, where it's just like, I can't believe my own daughter won't talk to me. Perhaps you should review some of the things you did. I can't believe my wife slit my own throat. Perhaps you should review some of the things you did. I can't believe so-and-so blocked my number. Again, perhaps you should review some of the things you did.
I'm thinking about the slit throat. I'm like, he's probably dead.
Just because we die doesn't mean we stop evolving.
That is true.
Death is the doorway, darling. Just a different adventure. Oh my
goodness. But I hear you.
Yes. Yeah. So you know that. So I just feel like if we're going to talk about accountability, you know, and this leads to, and like, let's bring this up next time because we're counting it down.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, like I would love to continue talking about things like, you know, what does accountability actually mean? You know,
yeah.
and what are we really expecting from survivors? Like, what are we expecting? And is it too fucking much? You know, like, are we, you know, like, what's the level? And how much do you really want? How much do we as a society, how much largesse, right? Or like, how much, like, you know, forgiveness and generosity can we really demand or even expect from oppressed beings? You know, like, again, it's that thing, again, it's that thing where it's just like, you motherfuckers are lucky. Black people just want equality and not revenge. Like, what, you know, like, how, like, yeah. And I firmly, firmly believe this thing of part of the reason white folks is as scared as they are is because they're terrified, because they know how they do us. They know how they've been doing us. They know how their granddaddies did us. They know how their daddies, how their mamas did us. They know how they do us. They know. And that terror that they live with, that we're going to turn around and do them the same way. And the thing that scares me about myself is that there is an annihilative part of me that's like, yeah, what might that be like?
On that note.
Yep.
Well, on that note, probably like close out because there's, you know, there's some stuff that's probably happening for us this month. Both Silk and I have activities that are happening. And next week, actually, I have some folks that are starting their own blurred media outlet on the show. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do two shows next week. So maybe we can talk to the ladies at Blurred Galaxy.
Yes.
So that'll be for next week, and we can chop it up. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
You read my mind, because I was like, let's start bringing in some guesties.
Yes. And, you know, some amazing Black women that are doing their thing. Yes,
guesties with ovaries and guesties with testes.
Right?
There's a couple people.
Right.
That's and right. Guesties anywhere in betwixt.
Exactly.
All right, my pumpkin poopers, you're magical and wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone who did. And yes, may we be well. What you got? What you got, miss?
Well, you know me. Take care. Be well. And we'll see you on the interweb.
Yeah.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.